is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, Tuesday, welcome aboard. Glad to have you here. It's the Steve Gruber Show. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 888-900-9966 for the Common Sense Hotline. Check us out online at stevegruber.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We can keep you up to speed. My latest article there about how Michigan could end up paying more than $5 million for this Jill Stein, Hillary Clinton recount when there's no evidence or any reason to do so. We'll get to that in a second. First, though, the Big Ten fining Michigan $10,000 and reprimanding Jim Harbaugh for comments on the officiating at the Ohio State game on Saturday. Per a release, the league determined that Harbaugh's comments after the loss violated the Big Ten Conference Agreement 10.01. The agreement imparted that the Big Ten Conference expects all contests involving a member institution to be conducted without compromise to any fundamental element of sportsmanship. Such fundamental elements include integrity of competition, civility toward all, and respect, particularly toward opponents and officials. Well, the officiating was horrendous on Saturday, in my estimation, and it gives the Sparty folks something to yell at me about, and so it is. I thought the officiating was horrendous all day. From what I can see, and I believe that JT Barrett was short. There is still a chance, however, if you care. If Colorado beats Washington in the Pac-12 championship game, it is possible that Michigan could still make the playoff as a two-loss team. It's a long shot, but it does exist. There you go. There's your sports update as I see it. All right, Democrats are annoyed at this whole bogus recount effort by Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton. A waste of time and money that's not going to change anything, so says strategist Joe Trippi. You see him on TV a lot. He was Howard Dean's guy back in the day, 2004. I think it probably was the Stein people looking for a way to stay relevant, raise money, and take the stink off of them, said Trippi. Instead of everybody screaming, "You made Trump happen," she is counting the votes to change the whole narrative. And she didn't make Trump happen. Listen, we've always had third-party candidates. You know, the Libertarian Party had candidates, the Constitution Party, and a whole host of others. And people decide to vote for those parties, even though really it's a binary system between a Republican and a Democrat. And it has never really come close. The closest it came was maybe 1912, when Teddy Roosevelt picked up a handful of states and 88 electoral votes. And Howard Taft, the sitting president, finished third, only time that's happened. But there will come a day in America where there are three viable parties or four. That has happened in the past where when four parties have gotten electoral votes in the end. So we'll see how that all plays out. Michigan, meanwhile, has certified the Trump win here. That officially happened yesterday. The Michigan Board of Canvassers certified at 16 electoral votes to Donald Trump. Even as an expected recount looms, the Associated Press and NBC News both have now finally called the state for Donald Trump. The results submitted by the state's 83 county clerks were first posted last Wednesday by the Michigan Secretary of State. They show Trump leading Hillary Clinton by 10,704 votes. It is the first time since 1988, by the way, you probably knew this, that Michigan has broken four. A Republican. Meanwhile, Jill Stein and her bizarre recount efforts continue in Wisconsin. They said, "Yes, we'll do it, but you have to pay us $3.5 million by today." $3,499,689 by 4:30 today, or they won't do it at all. You see, Wisconsin has a different deal than Michigan. And I can't figure out, I've kept reading, but I can't figure out what Pennsylvania's deal is when it comes to the cost. In Wisconsin, it goes out to the county clerks. Give us an estimate of what it's going to cost to do a recount in your county. And then all the counties report back, and they total that up, and the number is $3.5 million. In Michigan, we get a total of $790,000. Because somebody asking for a recount in this sort of a circumstance only has to pay $125 per precinct. $790,000. The problem with that is this. If it costs $3.5 million in Wisconsin, it'll cost significantly more in Michigan, probably well north of $5 million. In fact, 5.6 if you apply the number of voters in Michigan compared to the number of voters in Wisconsin. Meaning, you and I, under this scenario, will get stuck with about $4.8, $4.9 million to pick up. That'll be our bill from the Democrats to recount a race that wasn't contested. Just shy of any overruns, any delays, any court action, $5 million plus to recount an election that wasn't even contested, that nobody actually believes was hacked, that nobody believes there's a problem with or an integrity issue. So Jill Stein, then after she learned she had to pay $3.5 million in Wisconsin, and they said, we won't do a full hand recount, she filed suit against the state of Wisconsin yesterday. She filed suit against the state of Pennsylvania yesterday to force a recount there. And in Michigan, they say they're gearing up. Tomorrow would be the day that the challenge would come, and the recount would begin a couple days later. Ron checking in on the hotline from Grand Rapids. Ron, welcome to it.
Hey, thanks, Steve. My understanding from what I saw just the other day in the Drudge report is that Pennsylvania, on the 21st, was the deadline to file for a recount. She can't do it there if she doesn't get all three, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania.
No, you're missing something. No, she missed the deadline. She missed the deadline for it to be a citizen-driven recount. That was November 21st. She still has every right through today to go and file, through yesterday, which she did, which is go and file a suit through the court system, and she met that deadline yesterday. She missed one deadline, but she made the other one.
What about the criteria of hand count versus machine count? They cannot force that, can they?
Well, in Pennsylvania, I don't know. It's before a court in Dane County, Wisconsin right now as far as what happens in Wisconsin. You can't do a hand count in Pennsylvania because 80% of the machines don't have any paper trail. So there's no way to do a hand count. Ron, thanks for checking in.
Okay. So maybe that deadline won't pass, which is, again, part of the strategy to make the whole thing look like Trump didn't win.
Exactly. It's trying to delegitimize Trump. You're exactly right. Let's go to Sam now in Grand Rapids. Sam, welcome to it.
Yeah, I heard yesterday, I don't know how accurate this is, but I heard yesterday that the reason there won't be a recount in Pennsylvania is because there was a November 21st deadline, and I don't know what specifically had to be done by November 21st.
Yeah, again, we were just addressing that. That has to do with citizens asking for a recount. That deadline was missed, but she did file suit in Pennsylvania yesterday by the deadline, and so she's still in play in Pennsylvania. Still in play in Pennsylvania. We'll see what happens there, but it is in play. I don't know what the cost involved is, but either way, she's apparently going to ask for the recount in Michigan, costing you and I $5 million. 14 after on a Tuesday.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
18 after and moving quickly. We're going to go straight to Joe in Grand Rapids on the Common Sense Hotline. Joe, welcome to it.
Yeah, we here in Michigan need to make our laws regarding recounts a little harder. If it's obvious fraud or it's like, you know, you're within a few hundred votes, that's one thing. But this is ridiculous. She needs to pay for this out of her pocket if she wants a recount. She's an oddball, goofball, third-party candidate. She wasn't even on the ballot in all 50 states, I don't believe.
And we're going to put the bill, Joe. You're right. We need to change it. We need to make it more expensive for sure. Tomas in Grand Rapids, before we get to our next guest. Tomas, what's on your mind?
I say do the recount. It will uncover the fraud in Madison, in Philly, and in Detroit. It'd be the best thing we could possibly do. Do it, baby.
Well, all right.
That's my Christmas present.
There's one way to look at it. Plus, you can all sit back and enjoy another Donald Trump win. There is that. You can enjoy Donald Trump winning all over again. My good friend Michael Dougherty, senior writer for Cyber Defense, board member at Snoop Wall, joining us now. Michael, welcome back.
I'm so impressed you have a broad rainbow of listeners there.
Well, I do. And then I've got you. Good Lord.
Yeah. Good morning.
Welcome to it. First of all, congratulations to your good friend Daryl Issa, finally being certified as the winner by about 5,000 votes in his congressional seat in California.
Yeah, that was the fun of write-in ballots in two counties when they had no idea how many of those write-ins were for his district. So he had an agonizing couple months. But I was at I was with him a week ago Tuesday, and he was very confident the whole time.
Yeah.
Although he would say a bit obsessed over it.
Yeah, I would think. You know, yeah, I'm pretty sure we've won, but you know, pretty sure and knowing damn well is a different thing.
That's exactly. That's great news. What people don't understand how much he does for the country, because he really isn't. He doesn't. It would sound like bragging what this guy does, and what he does that so many people don't do is he puts his neck on the line, his own personal neck on the line against his own Republican leadership when he was in oversight. I mean, he really took a lot of heat, and if you look back on it, we probably wouldn't have had the election we had it not been for ISA exposing the IRS and Benghazi and all these other things. I mean, you're not going to see Jason Chaffetz do that.
Well, you know, he's a rookie. He might grow into it, but he's no Daryl Issa at this point, that's for sure.
Right.
That is a certain, because Issa knew how to run these committees and how to do the investigation. That is clear. Let me ask you about a couple of things. Let me ask you about this bizarre Jill Stein recount, which, by the way, could cost Michigan taxpayers $5 million or more, because in Michigan, we don't have the same deal as Wisconsin. Wisconsin makes them pay for the whole thing. In Michigan, we only have to pay $125 per precinct, which comes out to about $790,000. Wisconsin's already determined it's going to cost $3.5 million for their recount, and Jill Stein has to put that money up today. So if you extrapolate that out, it'll cost more than $5 million in Michigan, of which the majority is paid by the counties and the taxpayers. Isn't that obscene?
It is obscene, so I guess hopefully you'll have your legislators closing that loophole immediately, and so that this never happens again. But, you know, it's always painful to watch Democrats and left people in action. But it's, you know, what impact? This is kind of like that Obamacare invoice. See, this is what happens when you've got these people that think the government owes them everything, and they don't really see their own money. It's like other people's money, they're so generous. The irony is their own money, they're such skinflints. it's really, have you ever noticed that?
I just haven't heard that word in a long time. I'm pleased with the use of the word skinflint.
Well, it's true. They just have this. So you're seeing. I'm so glad she showed how crazy she was after the election, because that would have been the shortest road for Hillary winning Michigan, because she would have had no one voting for her.
Well, that's right. And she got, let's do the math here. Donald Trump won by 10,704 votes. And Jill Stein got 51,000 votes in Michigan. Let's say,
Yeah, this is, you know, you can't change stinking thinking. And we're just lucky she exposed this now.
So no, fair enough. Now, let me throw a couple things at you here. Let's start with this. Mitt Romney, back for another dinner with President-elect Donald Trump tonight. I actually am okay with it. People are going crazy on the right. They think it's horrible. Mitt Romney said terrible things about him. My opinion is it shows that Donald Trump can bury the hatchet, and I think it takes a rhino of sorts to be the Secretary of State, to be that person that can kind of play that diplomat role, much like Mitt Romney's father was a diplomat. I don't think it's a terrible choice. What say you?
I don't think it's a terrible choice either, because it kind of makes sense because he's all image. I find it a little funny and sad. If Mitt would have like fallen on a sword and gotten mouthy in the microphone about Obama in 2012, like he did with Trump, he'd be president. He's got incredibly bad timing. And I don't know if it's the consultants around him or who's telling him to go for it, but, you know, why didn't I see that type of moral outrage with Obama? He did it one time, and he would have kept it going. So, but he is very, his image is very good. He's very dignified. He's very smart. And if we just purge and peel away all these business consultants away from him, he would be fine. I actually think that Petraeus is awesome, and I think John Bolton would be my number one choice, but I guess that's not happening.
See, to me, Bolton's a little trigger-happy. Petraeus would be a fine choice. I'm okay with that. What about this guy, Tom Price of Georgia, for Health and Human Services?
I've known Tom Price for a long time. I worked in the same hospital as Price did. He is fantastic.
Orthopedic surgeon.
Yes. I mean, because here's the thing about Tom. He knows Congress, he knows politics, he knows medicine, he knows patients.
And he hates Obamacare.
Well, because he knows patients, and he knows medicine, and he knows the reality, not this theory. And he knew about the reality, like all of us that worked in medicine before. These people that go, well, we're just going to have the poor not coming through our door anymore, so you're a terrible person if you don't like it, don't understand that that's not what it was about. And that's also, by the way, not what happened.
Yeah.
And we basically tripled everyone's price, gave them catastrophic care, reduced the effectiveness and quality of care in a rapid amount of time. I mean, the amount of destruction Obama did to medicine is breathtaking in a short amount of time. And he'll be able to turn it around very well. I don't think he's going to like this job.
Probably not.
But he's such a patriot, he's going to do a great job.
Man, you got a lot in a short period of time, Doherty, as you always do. But that's all we got, my friend. I got to run.
All right, man.
Peace.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
The hotline's 888-900-9966, and it is active today. Let's go to Clark and Lance. And Clark, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. I've got a kind of a unique take on it. I like the idea of charging the recount back to the candidate, but I'd also like to not accept the rules or the premise that the Democrats are putting forward. If we're going to do this recount, let's do a full accounting and line up every vote with every legal citizen and put it back in their lap and see how long they like that those terms.
Well, that would be racist and bigoted, you see. You see, that's what that would be. And then that's what they would call us. You'd be xenophobic and racist. If you dare try to prove that they had fraudulent voting on put forth that helped them pick up the votes they did have, they'd go crazy. Clark, thanks for the thing. I agree with you, Clark. I just know what the pushback would be. And Tom in Grand Rapids, welcome to it.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Hey, I just wonder how many more Muslim terrorist incidents do we need as Americans before asking our Congress, our people, to suspend any migrants coming in here from Muslim countries? I mean, how many more people got to get involved in these terroristic acts? How stupid can we be?
I think we're moving in that direction,
too.
Tom.
I've taken this to my rep here, Justin Amash, here in Grand Rapids, and talked with some of the people. And they're telling me our refugee laws are really a big part of the problem.
Well, Tom, I'm sure that's going to change, though. Yeah, well, the change is coming, Tom. Thank you for checking in. Change is coming. That's why America made a decision about who the next president is going to be and shocked the media. Byron Henry, my next guest, attorney and constitutional scholar, who thinks the Trump presidency could be in trouble, though, from emolument, the emolument clause. I hope I'm saying that right, Byron. Welcome to the program.
Yes, you are saying it right, Steve, and I'm glad to be with you. Good morning.
What in the world does emolument mean?
Well, according to the left, who has rediscovered the originalist roots of the Constitution vis-a-vis Justice Scalia's interpretation method that they've never used in the past, believe that an emolument is a present, gift, or some sort of payment for services that an officer of the United States is not allowed to accept from foreign states or foreign kings or foreign princes, according to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9. So basically, the argument now from the left is that because Donald Trump owns things abroad, owns hotels and has interests abroad, anytime someone from another state or state-owned bank, for instance, rents space in one of his apartment buildings or in Trump Tower or pays him for services in any of his establishments, that is a gift or a payment.
That doesn't even make sense.
Well, the difficulty is that, first of all, they have to, of course, as I mentioned earlier, discover the originalist roots of the Constitution. And it's amazing how many of these liberals that had never actually read the text of the Constitution have actually become textualists when it comes to Donald Trump.
Well, and I get that, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, presidents and vice presidents and ambassadors, you know, gifts are given on a regular basis, and it's not to buy, you know, well, sometimes it is to buy influence, I suppose. But somebody staying at a Trump hotel in Dubai doesn't mean they're getting any special favors from Donald Trump. You know that, I know that, and every common sense person in the world knows that. It has nothing to do, one has nothing to do with the other. And if they stay at the brand new Trump hotel in Washington, D.C. and rent a room there, it doesn't mean that they're going to get special treatment from the President of the United States. None of these, I mean, but this does draw the question, shouldn't he put in somebody in charge of his business holdings? And it's awfully hard to do a complete blind trust. I don't know how you would do that because his holdings are so large and reach so many places. But you know what? It's something for the Democrats to crow about because they don't have anything else, from what I can tell.
Yeah, it seems to me like the blind trust, I agree with you 100%, doesn't work here because in order to do a blind trust, you have to liquidate your assets. And then a trustee manages them in the sense of that they invest them into things you don't know what you're invested in. Therefore, you can't be doing... you can't be making moves as president that would help you yourself financially because you don't even know what you're invested in. But in this case, that would be almost impossible. I think Donald Trump is attempting to do kind of a compromise where he basically puts other people in charge of running his businesses. The only question is that how close is he going to be with knowing what moves are being made and whatnot? And I suspect not much, since, you know, being president is a full-time job and it's going to be difficult. So I think.
I mean, and you can't force the guy to sell all of his real estate. That's silly. I mean, that is what you're telling him he has to sell his life's work, you know, when you listen, put somebody else in charge of running the stuff. That's fine. He's not going to be able to do both. My estimation is just have somebody else separate from it, get it done. But they're trying to figure out ways to discredit him before he gets started. I have an idea. Let him do his work. Let him do what he was elected to do and get after it. Now, I don't agree with anybody being able to buy access to the United States government. Not Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump, not anyone. So we have to make sure that we're clear about the fact that, okay, running the hotels, they'll figure out a way to do that. But if anything ever surfaced like he was peddling influence the way the Clinton Foundation was or Hillary Clinton, that would be something that I would not accept or tolerate, and I think that most people feel the same way.
I think you're right, and what most people forget is that most of the founding fathers, if you want to go back to them when the Constitution was ratified, were very rich individuals, owned lots of land, had estates, had lots of business dealings, some with foreign entities, but especially here in the United States. So it's not unprecedented that someone that actually had money, had land, and had businesses might become president of the United States. And I agree with you. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires a person of means to basically sell everything he owns in order to act as president of the United States. I think the only thing you need to look out for is what you said, is to make sure that there's some kind of division or separation between Donald Trump and the Trump Organization while he's president, so there can be no question that someone's buying influence or trying to get favors through Donald Trump's businesses.
Yeah, I don't think anybody suggested that John Kennedy sell all of his, you know, valuables. He was very wealthy when he became president of the United States. Or Hillary Clinton would have been suggested that she sell everything. Or Al Gore, anybody else that ran for president, they should sell everything and put it into a pile of money for some stranger to run. I don't think that was suggested by anyone. But it's only suggested now because they have, well, they're grasping at straws.
Yeah, I agree. And between, between the recount and this emoluments clause argument and the praise of Fidel Castro, it just seems to me that the election of Donald Trump has driven the left completely off the cliff, and they sort of jumped the shark collectively as a group because they just are collectively out of their minds with the election of Donald Trump as president. They haven't gotten their arms around that yet.
Well, that's right, Byron, which is why you see these ridiculous recount efforts being joined by Hillary Clinton in only three states. Not the closest state of all was New Hampshire. No recount needed there. Nevada, just as close as the others. No recount needed there. It's absurd. But I appreciate your time, Byron, as always. We'll talk soon.
Glad to be with you.
Byron Henry, attorney and constitutional scholar here on the Steve Gruber Show. Emolument. We'll keep an eye on that one, see where that one goes. Now, still to come, Suck It Up, Buttercup. Suck It Up, Buttercup. That is a bill being put forth in January, when the Iowa State Legislature gets together. What does it mean? It means that the guy that we're going to have on next, State Rep Bobby Kaufman of Iowa, is sick and tired of cry zones and, you know, safe spaces and trigger words and places where you can go play with Play-Doh He'll be on with me next. And then after that, coming up in the next hour here, Senator Scott Brown, the former senator of the state of Massachusetts that replaced Senator Ted Kennedy. Last time we spoke to him was July, but he's back on the program. We'll talk about how the White House looks. We'll talk to him about whether or not he'd like to be in charge of the Veterans Administration. Straight ahead here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right. You know, I apparently my next guest has been listening to the program for the last few years because a term I use here a lot is suck it up, buttercup. This is not a safe space. This is a place where we talk about real ideas and have real conversations. And if that's too much for you and you need a safe space to go cry, go do that. But you can't do that on my time because we have too much work to do. Iowa State Representative Bobby Kaufman here with me. Sir, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell me about this. I mean, you apparently, like a lot of us, you know, see these get-togethers, these cry-ins after Donald Trump won the election or for a whole host of other things where kids have to have their safe spaces where they go play with Play-Doh and they don't have to hear trigger words. I thought colleges and universities were places of higher learning where the free exchange of ideas was paramount, but apparently I went to college in a different day and age, and you think it's time to do something about it. Tell me about it.
Well, I do, and, you know, this whole notion of cry rooms and letting kids escape reality, I don't think it's preparing them for life. When your car breaks down, when you get a tax return that's less than you think it is, when your kids are sick, you don't get to go to a safe zone or a cry zone. So, you know, it was really twofold in Iowa. Not only do I want to see tax dollars not going towards this type of thing, but it was in my district that these kids, these brats, let's just call it what it is, went out on Interstate 80, and they actually shut down traffic for 30 miles. And to me, it was so wildly unacceptable that I had to do something about it.
So the bill, if I'm not mistaken, and it's called the Suck It Up Buttercup Bill. I love that, by the way. The bill intended to prevent public colleges and universities in the state of Iowa from using taxpayer money to fund protest events, safe spaces, cry zones, and probably some other things. Now, how do you think it's going to do, and how do you enforce such a thing?
Well, first and foremost, the role that I have as chair of the Oversight Committee is allowing me to do this because I'm able to ask the universities for the kind of dollars they're using for these types of things. And we're right in the middle of that right now, investigation. And you're right, I don't believe that if you've got tax dollars, if you've got extra dollars that are able to fund these type of things, it should be going towards things like lowering tuition. And be perfectly honest, I wouldn't want tax dollars being used to advance either political agenda. Like you said, college is supposed to be the exchange of ideas so that people can decide for their own. But the second part of the bill would impose harsh penalties on students for protesting on a federal highway. I find it to be incredibly ironic that liberals are asking for the heads of Chris Christie's aides for shutting down a federal highway. But my goodness, if it's for an idea that they like, then they should be able to do whatever they want.
No, there's no question that, you know, you have the right to freely assemble, but there are some, you know, guidelines on that. You have to get a permit if you're going to be in front of City Hall and your gathering can be of a certain size. You need a permit. And blocking an interstate highway, I don't think you're going to get a permit for that. And the other thing that bothers me about this is that in so many places, while people that are trying to get to work or get to the hospital, in one case, I heard recently of a person who died of a heart attack because the ambulance was stuck in a protest and couldn't get to the hospital for needed medical care. You know, there's got to be something done about it, but I see these police departments in so many places do absolutely nothing. They let it go on. And how is that?
You're exactly right. Here in Iowa, if you're quote-unquote peacefully shutting down an interstate, by that I mean you're blocking it, but you're not rioting or throwing rocks against cars, it's tantamount to jaywalking. And so the police don't have a lot of options because they're not going to arrest 250 people and take them to jail on jaywalking charges. So they've been asking for harsher penalties. And you're right. I'm all for protesting and dissent and the First Amendment, but you don't have a constitutional right to impede on the constitutional rights of others. And you can't shut down an interstate because, like you said, what if someone's in an ambulance
and they die because they can't get to the hospital because of these protests.
Well, you've got that, you know, but just how far, where did you go to school?
But first I went to a community college, then to the University of Iowa.
There you go. So you're a Hawkeye. I mean, because yes, I look at things like, you know, the University of Michigan is supposed to be a place of higher learning. And, you know, we broadcast in that market and we appreciate the support we get there. But they had a Trump trauma Play-Doh event, for God's sake. And they tried to scrub it from their website, but there it was. You know, and they had these other, you know, events. At the University of Michigan, a world-renowned university, as many are, including the University of Iowa and others, have these, you know, these get these cry-ins or whatever. You know, I got an idea. Here's your participation ribbon. You lost. Go home. I mean, maybe that's the day and age we live in here, sir, because, you know, everybody gets their participation ribbon. Nobody knows what it's like to lose. Well, in the real world, people lose. In the real world, attention, Michigan, in the real world, referees make bad calls and Ohio State wins. Did you go to a cry room after that? I mean, seriously.
Well, you're exactly right. I'm hearing reports across the country of exams being canceled, of classes being postponed. And how fair is that to the student that did their due diligence, studied for their exam, planned their work schedule around that exam, and they have to be now pushed aside because somebody couldn't handle it. You're exactly right about the participation culture. It's the generation that was raised where you don't keep track of the soccer scores, you don't have winners and losers, and you get a ribbon just for participating.
Yeah, Bobby Kaufman with me, a state rep in the state of Iowa, putting forth a suck it up buttercup bill there to say, listen, stop using taxpayer money for safe spaces, cry zones, Play-Doh events, or any other such silliness, because it's a waste of time, money, and don't allow protesters, whether they call themselves peaceful or not, to shut down, you know, entire interstates and distract from the work of other people that have things to do. Have your protest where you want, but, you know, file for the permit like people do, have done forever. Do you think the bill's going to make it? You got 30 seconds for the last word here. Do you think the bill will make it? What do you think?
I've been getting emails across the country and across my state. I believe this bill has a very good chance, not only in Iowa, but across the country. Anyone that wants to get involved, we did purchase the website, www.suckitupbuttercup.mobi, M-O-B-I, and we're trying to make this a nationwide movement. And so far, the support has been overwhelming.
Bobby Kaufman, Godspeed to you, my friend. I hope it works, and I'm going to go look at that. We'll put that website up on our Facebook page. You have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
There you have it. Suck it up, Buttercup. This is no safe space. Still to come today, Senator Scott Brown and a whole lot more right here on The Steve Gruber Show.